We're so grateful to God for the saving name of Jesus. And I want Him to be our total and complete focus today, even though the title of today's message is His Antithesis, as we are speaking about demons out of Colossians chapter 2. A single verse for our reading today, verse 15, Colossians 2. And verse 15, I'd ask that you keep your Bible open there on your lap or to your side as my sermon. Its points will be coming from this single verse. And even though the title of today's message is Demons, and that's what verse 15 is about, the focus is about Jesus and how He has overcome all the forces of hell on our behalf. And so let Him be in the forefront of our minds. Let's don't give any undue credit to the evil one and his fallen angels. Let us see together what Jesus has done on our behalf to these fallen spirits, or as they're commonly referred to, demons. Looking with me there in verse 15, it's speaking about Jesus when it says, having disarmed principalities and powers. That's the first thing that Jesus has done to these demons. In your Bible, it might read rulers and authorities. They are fallen angels. He has disarmed them. Secondly, the second phrase there in verse 15, He has made a public spectacle of them. Or your Bible might say, He has displayed them. And then the third and final point, the last phrase of verse 15, it says that He, Jesus, has triumphed over them in it. So in this single verse, in these three phrases, we see three things that Jesus has done to these fallen angels. He has disarmed them, He has displayed them, and He has defeated them. Number one, He has disarmed them. Again, in verse 15, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, or that might read rulers or authorities in your copy of God's Word. You know, when an enemy is disarmed, he cannot harm you. Now, many times we get the wrong idea about demons. We falsely think that they somehow or another have possession over Christians, or they can possess a Christian, and nothing is further from the truth. Because if you're a believer, you are possessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said Himself in John 10:26, no one will snatch you from My hand. And so we belong to Jesus. If you're a believer, if you can remember that time when you've trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and there's no way you could be possessed by Satan at the same time. But I will say this, even though Satan cannot possess a believer, he certainly can oppress a believer. And many times when we're frustrated in our Christian walk, especially when we're trying to do something for God's honor and glory, the evil one will frustrate us. He will attack. He will oppress. And it's not uncommon to see that activity even in high and holy places like this church house. I believe that the devil regularly shows up in our worship services. He might be seated in a pew right beside you, trying to distract you, get your mind off of the things of God. And that's what the devil does. He is out there trying to get our attention away from the only one that deserves our attention, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He might be here to discourage you or to defeat you. I want you to know today that you have a foe that has been disarmed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and a foe that is disarmed cannot harm you. I remember when Amy and I were newlyweds in Jacksonville, Florida, we bought our first home And we decided about this time of year on a spring day that we were going to make some flower beds underneath some huge ligustrums that had grown up against the outside of our side house. And so I got one of these rakes, not one of these flimsy rakes that you rake leaves with, but one of those stiff rakes. Some people say the official name of that is a crawl. And you know what I'm talking about. It's like a hoe. It's stiff, but it's got individual spikes. And so on a spring day, very much like today, a Saturday, I went out and I got my crawl or my rake, and I extended it as far as I could next to the brick wall underneath the ligustrums and pulled it toward myself. Now, in Florida, we have San Augustine grass, and it's quite different from the Bermuda that we have here. It's just like a network of grass that grows on top of the surface of the soil. And so whenever you're pulling the San Augustine grass, it comes out in clumps, in networks. And so it's kind of frustrating as I reached down all the way against the brick wall and pulled back to the edge of what the flower bed would be. And then I would have to, with my free hand, take the San Augustine grass out from between the spikes on the rake. And I repeated this almost robotically after I got used to it for an hour or so until something caught my attention. I was reaching and pulling the grass out, not even conscious of what I was doing, just robotically reaching for the grass, when all of a sudden I felt a slimy, slithery snake wrapping itself around my arm all the way down to the elbow. And I looked and was shocked. I don't even know what kind of snake it was, but I wasn't going to take an inventory at that time. I released the rake, and the snake's body was still wrapped around my forearm, and I shook it and I shook it and I shook it and stepped back several feet expecting the snake to crawl away or crawl toward me. But all I saw was the body of the snake just convulsing, flipping and flopping in the same place. When I gathered enough courage, I drew closer to the snake's body, and I noticed that in the rake, I had gone through the head of the snake all the way through the roof of its mouth, but it didn't stop there, all the way through the bottom jaw of the snake and out the bottom jaw, rendering it helpless to harm me or anyone else. Now, its body was getting lots of attention, but I want you to know that's exactly what happened to the devil and his demons on the cross of Calvary. The first prophecy about that was in the first book of the Bible, Genesis 3, verse 15, where the devil is being spoken to by God. And God is speaking to him about Jesus when he refers to Eve, the woman, and her seed. Any biology student here can tell you the woman does not have seed, she has eggs. But that was speaking way back at the dawn of civilization about the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this to the devil. He said, "The woman's seed will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel." People back then didn't know what that was talking about, but now on the New Testament side of the cross, we understand it completely. Jesus, the virgin-born Son of God, was crucified on the cross of Calvary. His heel was bruised in the process of him smashing the skull of the evil one, Satan, rendering him helpless as far as harming you and me. He has been disarmed. But we can look around in our world today and we can see his body flipping and flopping and getting people's attention, making people fearful, making people not want to do anything for Christ, But we need to understand from the Word of God right here in Colossians 2:15 that your enemy, the foe, has been disarmed. In our early American history, there was an American author by the name of Wilson Minnitz. And Wilson was not only a gifted writer, but he was also a gifted fighter. And he loved hanging around boxers in his day. And so he had this one friend that in that day was a professional boxer. His name was Mysterious Billy Smith. And he talked Billy Smith into going into a San Francisco bar one night. And while they were there, Mesner picked a fight with a group of longshoremen. So he and his buddy, the professional boxer, started fighting these longshoremen until only one was left. And Wilson Mesner was raining blows on this longshoreman that was standing upright and at attention until finally Mysterious Billy Smith put his hand on his shoulder and said, "Stop, stop, stop." He said, "I knocked him out 5 minutes ago. And when I threw the blow, it threw him back between two pieces of furniture where he was standing vertically and obstinately standing upright as though he was still ready to fight." And that's a picture of what Jesus has done to the devil and his hordes of demons. He has knocked them out. But they're still standing and threatening, and they look like they're ready to attack, but they have been rendered helpless, as according to this verse, they have been disarmed. They cannot harm you. But not only that, if we just unpack this verse 15, we see that they've also been displayed. It says there that he made a public spectacle of them. This is a reference to what Roman generals would do against enemy forces that had been conquered back in Bible days. They would take the general of the opposing forces, they would disarm him, and they would parade him up and down the streets of Rome to bring even further humiliation to him. God says that this is what Jesus has done to the demons who oppose us. He's not only disarmed them, but he's displayed them for what they are, or should I say, what they are not. The other night, a Wednesday evening, I was enjoying a Wednesday night meal that Juanita Killingsworth had so deliciously prepared, and sitting at a table there with a bunch of fine folks just enjoying good Christian fellowship, and the time kind of got away from me. I looked down at my watch and saw, "Oh my, it's 10 till 6. I got to be in prayer meeting at 6. And so I dismissed myself because I had to go up to the office and get some things for prayer meeting. And so I excused myself and was in a hurry. And when I came up these steps over here from the basement level and started walking toward my office in between the Jeanette Barron conference room and Sunday school classroom and the Love Sunday school department, I was the only one in the hallway. All the children had already gone to music and missions, and all the workers were gone too. So it was kind of eerie. I was the only one in that hall. When I turned the corner at the Love Sunday school department and I came face to face, eye to eye, with a 7.5-foot, 10-point buck, it sent a chill through my body. It reminded me of 20 years ago when I had done a revival at my friend Ricky Powell's church in Valdosta, Georgia. He now is the pastor of Fort Caroline Baptist Church, where I used to pastor in Jacksonville. But when I was there in Valdosta 20 years ago, I had the pleasure of meeting a member of Ricky's church. His name was Hoover McDonald. He was a wonderful senior citizen man. And The next fall, after the revival that we'd had that spring, Ricky called me and told me about something tragic that had happened to Hoover. Hoover had a next door neighbor who would go out in his backyard and he would hand feed a buck in his backyard. Quite an unusual sight. And so Hoover McDonald, the senior citizen, was interested in it, and so he walked into his backyard and just started watching his neighbor feeding this buck, when all of a sudden the buck turned his attention on Hoover and attacked him with his sharp horns and his sharp hooves, bloodying him, leaving him almost lifeless to where he had to be taken to the emergency room and was put in critical condition. And that's no kidding. The first thing I thought when I rounded that corner and I saw that 7.5-foot buck staring me in the eyes. But then, as I just looked a little bit closer, I noticed that it was in our youth minister's office. It was in Trey Pate's office. And it is a 10-point buck that he had previously harvested, and he had mounted its head. He had displayed its head. So that if you were coming to his office, just be warned, if you're ever coming to his office, this buck is going to stare you down as you go through the door. And it's quite a chilling sight, really. It's a beautiful animal. But that's what Jesus has done to the devil. He has mounted him and nailed him on the wall for display, saying, look, this is your enemy. This is your foe. He has been disarmed. And so that you might know it, I am displaying him for you. Speaking of Trey's trophy, I hope all of you are making plans to go to our sportsman's dinner. It's going to be wonderful this year. Trey's friend from Tifton is coming to lead, and it's going to be a wonderful time. It reminded me of our sportsman's dinner last year. It was wonderful, and we had many different mounted animals on display there, but the one that captured everyone's attention was a rattlesnake that was coiled up and ready to strike. I mean, it's quite a threatening sight. But you knew, this is stuffed, it is mounted, and it is displayed, and it cannot harm me. Friends, I want you to know that Jesus has nailed your enemy to the wall, and you don't have to be afraid of him for one moment. But not only this, there's a third phrase here in verse 15. It tells us that Jesus has not only disarmed our enemy, he has not only displayed our enemy, but he has defeated our enemy when it says he was triumphing over them. Jesus is victorious. And because of that, he is the undefeated champion of the world. And here's the good news from Romans 8 and verse 37. Since we are his followers, he has made us more than conquerors. Have you ever wondered what it meant to be more than a conqueror? I mean, I understand what a conqueror is, but what does it mean to be made more than a conqueror? I mean, I understand Jesus conquered sin, death, and the grave on the cross and in the empty tomb. But what makes me more than that, according to Romans 8:37? The best way I know to illustrate it is by taking you back to the year 1980. October 2nd, there was a much publicized heavyweight boxing championship between who was then called the greatest, Muhammad Ali, heavyweight champion of the world. There was none better than him. And he was taking on someone that used to be one of his sparring partners. People didn't think he had much of a chance. His name was Larry Holmes. And I watched with millions of other people on that Saturday afternoon as Larry Holmes now took the declining Muhammad Ali apart. It was really a tragic sight, really, for those who had watched Ali in his prime. It was clear that he had been disarmed. People didn't know it at the time, but Parkinson's was ravaging his body, and he did not have the mobility that he used to have. He didn't have the agility that he used to have. He was disarmed. And that was put on display for millions upon millions to see on TV. And in the end, Larry Holmes defeated Muhammad Ali by a technical knockout. Disarmed, displayed, and defeated. After that fight, Larry Holmes received the heavyweight belt. He received the title heavyweight champion of the world. But the purse, the winnings, he gave to his little bitty wife. And she had already told him if he won, she wanted to build a house with it. And so he gave her the winnings. And even though he was the conqueror of the greatest, she became more than the conqueror because she had at her disposal all that came to the conqueror. Friend, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He has given us the cattle on 1,000 hills, and we have everything at our disposal that he purchased for us on the cross of Calvary. All we have to do is appropriate it. So don't cower in a corner one more hour, one more day, letting the devil give you head shots. Quote to him Colossians 2:15, "Devil, I know you and your demons have been disarmed." Yes, you might be active in this world. You might be slithering around, getting everybody's attention, getting people scared. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And devil, I know that Jesus himself has displayed you for all you are in your defeats through his victory over you on the cross of Calvary. And because of that, I share in his conquest as more than a conqueror. Now, the only way that you can make that claim today is if you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't, you can right here in this place today. You could say, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm lost. I know I need a Savior, but today I ask you to please forgive me of my sins, to be my Lord." And if you would pray that or something like that in the sincerity of your own heart, in this place today, Jesus would enter your heart and he would save you. I know that I'm speaking to mostly Christians here today, but there are some Christians here today that feel so defeated. You feel so oppressed. And I want you to know today you don't have to. You can walk in the victory that Jesus purchased for you on the cross of Calvary. And maybe what you need more than anything else is a bunch of other Christians to come up alongside of you to encourage you in your fight. And maybe you need to come and join the life of this church where you'll find friends who are going through the same struggle you are that will encourage you and pray for you as you work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you just need to come to this altar and pray. I don't know. But I do know one thing. God does, and so do you. And there's no sense in playing games with him. Let's use this time profitably. You do what God wants you to do as we pray together. Oh, dear Father, in this moment, during this your invitation, we ask that you might have the victory in each and every heart. And Father, for that one that is here today who has never trusted you as Savior, we pray that today would be their day of salvation, that they would walk out of here more than a conqueror. Father, we pray for those that are already Christians, but they need encouragement. They need a church home. Father, we pray that if this is the place, they would come and join the life of our church. Father, for those that just need encouragement through prayer, we pray that you give them freedom to come to this altar. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.